You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. What day is it? Most days I don't know anymore because there's just a torrent of news. My name's Maggie Dawn. It is actually Thursday. Happy Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let me start with some network business. We are now in free ticket Friday giveaway time periods. Starting tomorrow and throughout the summer, I'm going to be giving away on Fridays during the show a set of four tickets to the Brewers game and Civic Media's wonderful loge-level tickets. So you're going to want to tune in to win. You're going to have to text the keyword of the show. It's not going to be in an hour. We're giving you more time. Keyword of the show. You're going to have to text it via the app. So go ahead, get ready. We're going to start the giveaway tomorrow. Get that app wherever you like to get your apps for. It is free. And we've got a very special show lined up for you today. We're going to talk about the risks that online criminals pose to our children in a number of particularly heartbreaking cases. We're going to talk about some legislation that has been introduced in the state of Wisconsin that I think every single one of us needs to care about. We're then going to have a broader discussion about cybersecurity from a national policy and a national security perspective. So it's going to be a very wide-ranging conversation this afternoon. I sure hope you can stick around with us for the entire 2 hours. We've got great guests coming your way. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about those in just a moment, but I have to start with the breaking news of the day. There is a ton of it. Let's start locally, shall we? The new superintendent at Milwaukee Public Schools has accessed, which doesn't mean layoff, but I'll get to that in a moment, has accessed over 181 administrative employees. Only 40 of those are straight up job cuts, like they won't exist anymore. The other 140 people will have to reapply for their jobs, some of which are getting reorganized within MPS. I'll just tell you this, know a ton of teachers. I talk about education all the time on this program. Every single teacher friend that I know was pumped about this. Like, enough of the administration, right? Enough of the managers of managers of managers. Let's get more people into the classrooms. They were pretty excited about that. So that's really locally down here in southeastern Wisconsin. Now let's turn to the state. Hi, folks up there in Rhinelander and the northwest and northeast portions of the state, all the way down here to southwest Wisconsin in the Madison area. Nice to see and hear from all of you this afternoon. Josh Collar, Attorney General, and Governor Evers announcing today a lawsuit has been filed against the Trump administration, specifically suing Sean Duffy, Secretary of Transportation, challenging the rescinding and the cutting off of funds that had been granted to the state related to electric vehicles. That will be, frankly, fascinating to watch. Perhaps even more importantly to all of us across the state, Mark Elias, who runs Democracy Docket and a firm called the Elias Law Group. I'm going to tell you more about him in just a second. He has sued to challenge our congressional maps, our U.S. congressional maps here in the state of Wisconsin, asking to file directly in the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. That's going to be one to watch. If you may have heard, oh, I've heard this guy's name before. Yeah. Mark Elias was once a partner at Perkins Coie, and often represented Democratic candidates, elected officials. Perkins Coie, yeah, that sounds familiar. That was the first law firm Donald Trump targeted with an executive order. That was all about Mark Elias. So interesting, we're seeing, again, the national politics play out here on our state stage in Wisconsin. We are both the middle of the country and the middle of its political universe as well. Also happening here in the state, police have now arrested the father of the Abundant Life school shooter. You'll recall that terrible tragedy just outside of Madison from this past December. The shooter took her life that day. The father of the shooter has been arrested. That in breaking news today. Also, little bit of news. I come to you from WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, locally here in southeastern Wisconsin. We got a candidate for the City of Waukesha mayor, Scott Allen, a five-term assembly person, throwing his hat in the ring for the spring 2026 election for Waukesha mayor. I have been talking about Donald Trump's nominee for the U.S. attorney position in the D.C. district. This guy by the name of Ed Martin, who is unqualified in every single sense of the word. He's not going to be the U.S. attorney in the D.C. district. You got to say, that was all the Maggie Dawn show, right? All of your phone calls to Ron Johnson saying, no, sir, we can't have this guy that's never, ever, ever prosecuted a single criminal case in his life to be the U.S. attorney in the D.C. district. He's out. Three police officers acquitted also today in the beating death of Tyree Nichols. I have not looked into that in any great detail. We will cover that in the coming days. Stick with us. A UK trade deal, I'm going to put air quotes around it, apparently getting announced today. This was the 10% reciprocal tariffs. Just I don't know, I'm going to call it a context note. US-Britain trade is less than 3% of our overall trade. And this isn't getting rid of the tariffs. They're specifically negotiating around particular products. Nobody's sure if this is actually going to happen. So, you know, let's see what happens. I'm all for having an actual trade policy. Specific, targeted, something that makes sense. Make it make sense. And of course, the biggest news worldwide today. Everybody, you see how I did that? Went from the local to the regional to the state to the national. Now the worldwide news. We have a new pope, white smoke coming from the Sistine Chapel earlier this afternoon. The first American-born pope in the history of the world. The first American-born pope. His name as a cardinal was Robert Francis Prevost. He was just made a cardinal 2 years ago by Pope Francis. He will now be known as Pope Leo XIV. He was a missionary. He graduated from Villanova University in mathematics. Ooh, a fellow data nerd. I have something in common with the Pope in addition to her Catholic upbringings. That was after just over 24 hours of the Conference of Cardinals being in the conclave. There were 133 cardinals voting this time for the new Pope. That is the greatest number, again, ever in the history of the Catholic Church's conclave. The world watching, who will this Pope be? What will it mean? Another just bit of context. This guy has actually checked J.D. Vance about his assertions about Catholicism a couple of times. So what message is being sent here? What comes next? What does this mean for American Catholics? Time will tell. We'll discuss more in the coming days and weeks for sure. With all of that housekeeping business done, got to always talk about the breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. You can always count on that here at Civic Media. We're all about real news and great conversation, and we're going to have one of those. It is my deep privilege and honor to introduce to all of you, to bring on to the show, a man by the name of John DeMay. John, he lost his son to a sextortion scheme. And John, let's just start there. Your son's name, Jordan. This happened back in, 2022? Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. March 25th, 2022. We just passed the three-year mark here a few weeks ago.
Wow. What is an anniversary no parent ever wants to have to mark. Tell us what sextortion is, John, and what happened with your son, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. Good evening. Sextortion is a scheme typically perpetrated online. It's a lot of times happening through Instagram or Snapchat messaging services. And basically what it is, perpetrators posed to be typically young females in most cases and target young boys for money. There is traditional sextortion, which is targeting for photos and nude images, which isn't quite as prevalent. And a lot of the young ladies get targeted for their pictures, which are then used in the future for other extortionists to then use to target males for money. But essentially, in a financial sextortion scheme, which my son found himself in most other young men in this country, in the world, that have died by suicide from this, it is a scheme where perpetrators reach out innocently, friend request you, try to become friends, you initiate the friendship, you believe that this person is a 14, 15, 16, 17 year old girl. In Jordan's case, it was a 17 year old female who had reached out around 9 o'clock on a Thursday night and just said, "Hey," and Jordan said, "Hey," back, and they started communicating, and it starts off small talk. Who are you? What are you about? Where do you go to school? What do you like to do? What do you do for fun? And as that conversation and the suspects start to, kind of lead you down this path, they start turning the conversation to a more of a sexual nature, and eventually they're trying to get you to send an explicit picture of them, of yourself, the victim. And once that happens, then it becomes extortion. Then the victims find out really quick that it's not this nice 17 young lady. It's actually mostly a man, and oftentimes, most of the time, overseas from another country. And then you can imagine the horrific extortion pressure that happens thereafter. And that's what my son dealt with. He received his first message around 9 o'clock or so on that Thursday night, and responded for the first time around 10 o'clock. Ironically, the last time that I'd see Jordan, he had just come back to my house. We were supposed to go to Florida with our family. Jordan has two other younger sisters, and we were planning a two-week Florida vacation that Friday morning. So he wheeled his bag into the house, and that was the last time I saw him. I had gone to bed early that night, and this entire thing happened while I was sleeping. But Jordan had received that first message, started communicating, and they communicated back and forth for several hours until right about 2 o'clock in the morning. And the suspect asked Jordan if he wanted to play a sexy game, and she's bored, and he was kind of him and a han about it. And I eventually she sent him a nude picture of herself and enticed him to do the same, which he did. And when he did that, around 2 o'clock in the morning, then of course the light switch flipped, and Jordan found out that Miss Danny Roberts, 17 year old from Georgia, was a 19 year old man from Nigeria. And the pressure and the intense stress that they put him through was immense. It was constant pressure. They knew exactly what to say, when to say it, how to say it. And they asked him for money. They wanted $1,000 to remove the pictures, and he said he didn't have $1,000. They negotiated a little bit, and they determined Jordan offered $300. Mm. And when that happened, he sent the money. And at this point, it was just game on, and they wanted more and more. And he didn't have more. He just kept trying and going, and they were telling they're uploading a video to Google, and they wanted another $800, and he didn't have $800.
We're gonna have to come right back. That's John DeBang.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're tackling an incredibly challenging subject this first hour. We're talking generally, big picture, about the threats that internet-based criminals pose to your family, specifically your kids. It is also, today is the day where the Wisconsin Department of Justice is hosting an annual conference on the exploitation of children. And they're talking specifically about the threats that a new exploding criminal problem is posing to children, and that is sextortion. Criminals posing often as young people reach out benignly to actual young kids, kids that you know, online. They strike up a conversation, a benign conversation. They end up requesting photos. The photo requests become more explicit. The criminals may share photos which look like the person that the child thinks they're communicating with. Once the child has provided the explicit material, the extortion begins. And I have with me John DeMay. He's a dad from Michigan. He's worked in law enforcement, whose son, Jordan, took his own life a mere 6 hours after being first contacted online by a group of criminals perpetuating a sextortion scheme. His son's third anniversary of his death just passed last month. John, there's a bunch of people on our text lines. I just want you to know, so one of my regular callers and listeners saying this actually happened to him when he was a kid, and thanking you for your bravery and your courage and talking with us. I know it's difficult. I also want to say on a deeply personal level, thank you. Because of your courage, people know about Jordan, and people will be able to better protect and help their kids and other children. So thank you. I wanted you to just give us, and I apologize that we literally ran out of time. Tell us a little bit about how, like, the pressure that mounted. These criminals, again, enticed your child to share embarrassing photos and images, and then they actually posted them. Am I getting there?
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry. We're gonna work to get John back. Unfortunately, sometimes with our technologies here, things can be a little splashy. If you're just joining us, why don't we have State Senator, this is Wisconsin State Senator Jesse James, who joined me earlier today. He defined sextortion for us, and he did this because Senator James is one of the Wisconsin legislators that have introduced and are advocating for criminalizing this behavior specifically in the state of Wisconsin. Let's listen. This is Cut 19. Let's listen to Senator James define this problem.
Being in law enforcement, you deal with a variety of different types of cases. And what sextortion is, it's kind of extortion or sexual extortion, will bring new penalties in our state for these types of cases. Sextortion is typically with our youth, but it can be found in adult cases as well. But it's when someone, often a younger person, but not exclusively to our young people, believes they're communicating with someone their own age who's interested in a relationship. And the victim will share revealing photos, usually sexually explicit photos, or sometimes I've seen some stories across our nation that they're AI generated as well. Mm-hmm. And then the person that they think that they're in a relationship with will threaten them, and they'll threaten the youth to share the photos with family, friends, put them on social media, unless they get something in return. Usually it's money. They'll usually ask for money, or like the Bitcoin stuff, or and that's often exchanged. And then they say, well, that's exchange for silence, that I won't do this if you do this. So, but what we've seen is oftentimes the sexual explicit material is released, regardless of payment being received or not. So, the threat alone, has resulted in an alarming number of deaths by suicide across our nation.
Folks, that's Senator Jesse James, State Senator Jesse James, one of a group of legislators here in the state of Wisconsin working to add a criminal penalty to criminalize sextortion as a specific crime. Extortion, of course, illegal. They're working to make sextortion, which especially has plagued our young people in this country. Law enforcement at both the state and federal level have called for more understanding, more awareness of this. They are referring to this as an epidemic. It is happening every day in every community. I guarantee you that some young person that you know is or has been targeted by this scheme. More than 13,000 reports of online financial sextortion of minors were received by the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security between October 21st and March of 2023. And at least 20 suicides have occurred because of this sextortion. One happened here in Wisconsin. As we work to get John DeMay back, his son Jordan also took his life as the result of this scheme. It has happened in Ohio, Australia, Scotland. We're going to come back after these brief messages with Mr. DeMay. We're going to talk more about what you can do to protect your family and advocate for some legislative change in our community and yours. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, tackling a really challenging subject this afternoon, something that just wasn't a thing when I was a kid. We've been talking about generally how to keep our families safe from internet-based criminals, cyber criminals, if you will, and we've been specifically talking about sextortion. With us this afternoon is John DeMay. He's a dad from Michigan, from Marquette, Michigan, whose son Jordan took his own life after criminals targeted him and were able to entice him by posing as a young lady into sharing explicit material. His son Jordan took his life a mere 6 hours after being contacted by these criminals on March 25th, 2022, John took an active role in law enforcement's response to the ultimate crime perpetrated against his son. And in the first case of its kind, the feds were able to extort two of the men from Lagos who had sextorted John's son. They were convicted and are facing, I read 200, they've been sentenced to 210 months in prison. They were sentenced on September 5th, 2024. And just, I believe it was last month, John, their co-conspirators in the United States have now been charged by the feds. Am I getting the details of the criminal process correct, John?
I think where I was trying to get at before we got disconnected there, I think it's important to note in our case with those arrests and the investigation further found out that these suspects were, they were trained by a group of individuals called, that they called themselves collectively as the Yahoo Boys. And these Yahoo Boys were an organization that had how-to materials all over the internet, YouTube and everywhere else, training videos, scripts, and how to extort teenagers. And that is how our group of people operated their small business. It was three or four Nigerian men in a dorm room, and they were victimizing Jordan. One was the keyboard typer. The other was investigating Jordan and learning about who his family was and doing all the research. There was another person doing graphics and building pictures and content, and they were working in unison that night, and Jordan wasn't the only victim. There was over 130 victims the FBI uncovered when they peeled back the layers of the onion just from our sextortion group. And those other victims were being victimized with the exact same script in the exact same way with the exact same pressure. So it's important to note when we're talking about the pressure campaign that's happening. I got to read the whole transcript after it was given by Meta following the search warrants. And it was unbelievable how much pressure they put on them and what they said and how they said it. It was fast-paced, and it was just ongoing and wouldn't stop.
Folks, that's John DeMay, whose son Jordan was targeted. In January, the U.S. cyber company Network Contagion Research Institute highlighted this web of Nigerian TikTok, YouTube, and Scribd accounts that have been sharing these scripts and these methods of sextortion. This is a known problem. American law enforcement has been trying to respond. This is from Dr. Tambari Sibe from a cybersecurity firm, Digital Footprints Nigeria, says these sorts of cyber frauds have become normalized amongst young people in Nigeria and other countries, but that the prosecution by the U.S. Department of Justice of the men who perpetuated this crime against John's son, Jordan, has sent a chilling message. Again, this was the first time U.S. authorities were able to extradite someone and then prosecute them, convict them. These men that perpetrated this ultimate crime against John's son sit in prison today. The five U.S.-based people that effectively helped move the money from the United States into these the hands of these other men in Nigeria, they were prosecuted. Those charges were brought on April 4th, just a little bit over a month ago, April 4th, 2025. John, talk to the parents out there. What do you want them to know?
Well, there's a lot to know, really, and I think the first thing is that we really have to be cognizant about what you're doing with your children and their phone use, what they're doing on the phone, how soon do you get them a phone? And we're talking about parents with young teenagers. Social media use is really important. I think the conversation needs to start there, because when you're handing your child a device that has access to the internet, you're handing them potentially a window or a doorway for the entire universe to have access to them. And you have to be aware of that. And you can't sit back idle and think that your child is not going to do anything maliciously, because that's not necessarily the case. As good as these kids are, all these 32 young men that have died by suicide in the United States from sextortion, we're all wonderful, wonderful, highly educated, dual sport athletes, smart, popular individuals. And the reason is, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the way that these perpetrators effectively do this crime, it is their job, they're professional at it, and they're adults, and they know exactly how to do it, and it's a crime. You can't expect young men and really young teenagers to be able to figure this out mentally when they're in the situation. It's very, very difficult.
And again, they use the scripts because they work. There are scripts because the scheme works. It is replicable. They're creating these images. This is an active and ongoing threat. And it's certainly, I think, young men are a particularly vulnerable target. But this is happening to adults as well. It is sextortion on a globally catalyzed scale. And it is generating, likely, I'm guessing, like in the tens of millions of dollars, because I'm sure we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, John. Let's talk a bit, John, about the different legislation. Ohio, and folks, I'm going to make this observation because it blew me away. The young man from Ohio who took his life as the result of a sextortion scheme, his name is Braden. Ohio's sextortion law is called Braden's Law. The young man who took his life in Wisconsin, his name is Braden. What? That two young men, a couple of miles apart here in the Midwest, we're going to have two Braden's Law because this is such a problem. It's just stunning. Where does the law stand in Michigan, John? Has it been enacted? Is it fully in place, or is there still wrangling going on the Michigan sextortion law? Hi, John. Let's try this on this line. John, where does the Michigan law stand? Has it been enacted? Is it in place, or is it still under negotiation?
That is in place. Bills 1 and 2 are, and then we were trying to get a third that did not pass, but we have the sextortion law, and we have penalties for that law that are signed by the governor, correct.
I'm relieved to hear that. Congratulations to you that your advocacy, your efforts have gotten Michigan moving in the right direction. Ohio, their law just took effect on April 9th, 2025. John, this is probably one of the worst things that a parent could ever have happened to their child. How did you move forward after you lost Jordan?
We really have no choice. And it's quite amazing how the human body is able to recover from such tragedy. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't shed a tear and think about Jordan and miss the things that I don't get to have with him. But at the same time, this is such an epidemic. And when we found out that this was sextortion after about day 2 or 3, we decided to do a press conference locally with our sheriff's department. And our community is about 25 or 30,000 people. We're not very big, but we know a lot of people in town have lived here a long time. So our community was very tore up when this happened. And so after the press conference was released and there was front page of the paper that Jordan was extorted and they're investigating the crime, we got inundated with messages from people in our community, friends that I knew, people in our social circle, and it was a lot. And I realized at that time that this was such a problem, because if that amount of people were contacting us just locally here, I can't even imagine what it's like in the state and in the other states in the country and in the world. And as I got onto this stage and started the advocacy side and awareness, those messages are times 100 now from all over the world. And it's just an absolute epidemic. And every single teenager from ages 13 to 17 are going to be a target of this type of extortion scheme at some point. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And they need to be able to recognize it, and they need to be able to get through it.
Folks, that is John DeMay, father of Jordan, who took his own life after a sextortion scheme. I won't be so bold as to say this, but Marquette County Sheriff, your sheriff from where you live in Michigan, John, said this. I read a bunch of coverage. This is Marquette County Sheriff speaking about your son. Quote, he did not die in vain. He has saved numerous lives. And his parents have saved numerous lives. They've helped us get here and get the word out and doing the difficult things that they had to do. And it will save lives into the future. I know it will. We are very fortunate to have these folks who are able to do this to step up. And I'm so proud of what they've done. So from your sheriff, I wanted to repeat those sentiments to you, John. I don't think we have enough thanks for your bravery in really becoming an advocate and helping raise awareness. Jacob, I wanted to play for you, John, a bit from Senator James here in Wisconsin. This is going to be, let's take cut 21 and 22 right together, if you will, Jacob. Let's take a listen together.
Most of these people are international, so in some cases across our U.S., the feds have been involved. And the FBI does recognize the cases like this, to where this person was extorted, sexually extorted, and caused the death. They do consider it a murder. So in our state, it's first-degree intentional homicide. So you know, we have that language in the bill. It's kind of creating a little bit of controversy in our legislature, but you know, we're going to iron out these details. We hope to, but that's the gist of it. And we don't need any more victims. Our kiddos need to have these outlets available to them. And we're hoping that with this media attention, this prevention and education, and our kids seeing that we do have adults standing up for them, that they would hopefully be comfortable in having those lines of communication opened up so that they can, number one, share what's going on so we can prevent death in our state from our children.
Folks, the young man in Wisconsin that lost his life, his name was Braden Bone. He was a 15-year-old from Cronenwetter, Wisconsin. He died by suicide on March 5th after falling victim to the same sextortion scheme that took my guest John DeMay's son, Jordan, just over 3 years ago. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with John. If you'd like to express your support for this legislation in Wisconsin, your support for John, your support for bringing awareness, text us 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're having a Cyber Thursday show. The first hour has been dedicated to bringing awareness to one particular sort of cybercrime that is a threat to every teenager in this country right now. And that is the cybercrime of sextortion. Criminals, often overseas, will pose as young people. They will strike up friendships online, and they will entice young people to send explicit photographs of themselves, and then they will ask them for money or else. Even if the young person doesn't pay, they will often then disseminate the explicit images anyways, and again, demand money. This is, according to state, local, and federal law enforcement, an epidemic in this country and abroad. More than 13,000 reports of online financial sextortion of minors alone were received by the FBI and Homeland Security between October 21 and March 2023. It has resulted in over 30 suicides. This has to stop. My guest today, his name is John DeMay. He's former law enforcement himself. He's from Marquette, Michigan, lifelong Michigander. And his son, Jordan, took his life a little bit over 3 years ago. Now, the men that committed the crime against Jordan were extradited from abroad, brought to face charges, have been convicted, and are currently serving 210-month sentences here in the United States. Their U.S. co-conspirators have been charged as of last month. These are good things. Michigan, where John is from, has adopted sextortion criminal laws. Ohio has done so. State Senator here, Wisconsin State Senator Jesse James, along with other legislators, have introduced legislation here in the state of Wisconsin to do the same. We'll get to that more in just a moment. But John, I wanted to give you the opportunity. This is one of those pernicious crimes because it makes kids afraid and it shames them. What's your message? I'm certain right now, John, that there is a young person listening or the parent of a young person listening who themselves is getting threatened or is in the midst of this. Talk to the young people out there, John. What's your message to a young person if they're facing this kind of extortion right now?
The first thing really is you just don't freak out. You know, it's such a tremendous stressor, but you have to understand that you aren't the only person this is happening to. One in five teenagers are sending nude pictures to one another right now. One in five. You are not the only one that is doing this, and this is a crime. This is a horrible, heinous crime, and you do not deserve that. Even though sending a picture is wrong and you should not do that, and there may be some minor punishments in your household for doing something like that if you get caught, but it pales in comparison to what you're actually going through as a victim of a really, really bad crime. And that's the most important thing, is you are a victim. And just because you made a mistake doesn't mean that you deserve this. And the one thing that I really tell people is just to take a deep breath. And if you're probably going to have a hard time remembering these things, but don't delete stuff. If you delete stuff, it makes things very difficult to track. When you get to the point where it counts, it's really hard for law enforcement to follow the trail if you start deleting stuff. So don't delete things, block the user, don't send any money. And just get off the internet, shut the computer down, really, because a lot of times these extortionists aren't even going to send your picture out. And on the backside, there's programs through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. I'm sure Jesse's going to have some really good stuff for you here coming up on the show. He's a guru in us with the ICAC department, but they have a great program called Take It Down. And if you get to it early enough, you can actually take that image, plug it into that program, and we'll actually remove it to participating platforms like Facebook and Instagram and stuff. So there are some defensive things that you can do, but the first thing is just take a deep breath and realize that you're being a victim of a crime, and just don't send any money, and don't further communicate with them, don't delete anything, and just block them, and then contact somebody, your friend, a family member, a trusted adult. They'll help you through this. They really will.
That is John DeMay, father of Jordan. He helped lead the charge in Michigan to make sextortion a crime there, bravely faced down the men that extorted his son. John, want to share with you on our text line, Terry from Cross Plains, Cam from Appleton, Matt from Germantown, Lori from Hayward, Angie from Monroe. I can't keep up with all of them. So many people here in Wisconsin expressing their support, love, and deep, deep thanks for your bravery, John. Here are some other tips I wanted to share before we run out of time. This is from the U.S. Attorney's Office. Obviously, be selective about what you share online. Don't share explicit images if you can avoid it. Do not, of course, share them with anyone that you have never met in real life. You meet a person that you don't know online, don't share images of yourself. People can pretend to be anything and anyone online. Be suspicious of people that you meet on one game or app, and then that person asks you to move to a different platform. Be wary of that. Any content that you create online can be made public. Nothing actually ever disappears. We can use Take That Down. We'll talk more about that with Wisconsin DOJ's Jesse Crow. He's the special agent in charge at Wisconsin ICAC, which is the Internet Crimes Against Children Division. We're going to talk with Jesse next about how you can prevent this from happening, how you can help protect your children. And most of all, please, please, please be willing to ask for help and to tell someone if you are facing this kind of extortion. John, you heard a little bit from Senator Jesse James here in Wisconsin that there's a little bit of controversy, tension, debate over the Wisconsin legislation. What's your message to legislators here in Wisconsin?
Well, I'm a conservative man, and I want the conservative legislator to pick up this bill and run with it. There's a lot of really misinformation with First Amendment rights and stuff, which I hold dear. And I want legislators to realize that if you're not willing to lay down on the sword for children to protect your seat, then I think you need to find a new career. So the kids are number one. They don't deserve this, and you need to do better and get some of this stuff passed.
That's John DeMay. Thank you, John. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Come back with
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.